Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Maria Garcia. We start today in Washington, where Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey joined New York Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez outside the Capitol building just a couple hours ago to deliver a passionate pitch for what they're calling the Green New Deal. During the press conference, Representative Ocasio-Cortez explained why she believes this is a necessary step, regardless of what other nations are doing.
We should do it because we should lead. We should do it because that is what this nation is about. We should do it because we are a country founded on ideals of a culture that is innovative, that cares for our brothers and sisters across this country. We should do it because we are an example to the world.
So what exactly is it we should be doing? Joining us now on the line from Washington to tell us what this new resolution is all about is Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. Senator Markey, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Well, thank you.
So this is an ambitious resolution, to say the least. It calls for a lot of things. 100% power demand in the U.S. through zero emission clean energy sources in about 10 years. Upgrading all existing buildings, overhauling transportation systems, and guaranteeing jobs for all Americans. So why present something so sweeping, so huge, some would say so unrealistic?
Well, what we did, that is, Alexandria and I, we had a two-hour lunch back in December, and what we decided was that we would put together kind of a way of looking at this challenge, you know, so that in the same way that President Roosevelt was able to construct a New Deal that transformed our economy, in the same way that President Kennedy was able to challenge our country to put a man on the moon and return him safely, the whole ship safely within 10 years, so too we thought that it would be good if we challenged our country to mobilize, to deal with this existential threat to the planet, climate change.
So, Senator,
and, yes,
if I may, this isn't the first time Democrats have tried to invest heavily in programs to fight climate change. In 2009, as part of President Obama's $800 billion stimulus package, $90 billion went to green initiatives like improving energy efficiency, increasing green electricity, building a smarter energy grid. Do you believe that you can realistically accomplish something more impactful than that?
Well, that was very successful. And you can actually point back to 2009 as the year in which wind and solar finally took off in our country, where Tesla and the all-electric vehicle revolution really began to take off, where the battery revolution really took off. But we know from the United Nations scientists, we know from our own scientists, that the threat is even greater today than it was in 2009. And we're being told by the experts, by the scientists, that it is now urgent and we have to act between now and 2030 if we're going to avoid the worst, most catastrophic consequences. So that's why we picked 10 years as the goal and then laid out the challenges in each one of the sectors of the American economy so that we can begin to mobilize the whole country. We did it, putting a man on the moon. We beat the Soviets. We did it during the New Deal. We brought our country back, and we can do it again while creating millions of green energy jobs.
And this sort of drastic action that you're talking about, it requires a massive investment program, as Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has called it, from the government. How are we going to pay for this?
Well, no one asked questions when we spend $5 or $6 trillion on wars in the Middle East. No one asked questions when we give huge tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires, which is what Donald Trump did just 2 years ago. So what we are trying to do is to lift our gaze to the constellation of possibilities for our country and our planet, and to say we're just fed up with the tax breaks for the oil industry, for the coal industry, for the natural gas industry, while renewables are left on a starvation diet. So from my perspective, the question isn't whether all Democrats can support this resolution. It is whether any Republican will support this resolution to make the investment in this transformation of our energy system in the country.
I do want to go back to the political feasibility of the resolution. But before that, I want to play a clip from the press conference today where Rep. Ocasio-Cortez agreed with you on the funding issue. Let's listen.
Government expenditure is not always just 100% offset by a tangible increase in that tax that same year. And so so I think that we certainly see the Republican embrace of that with the tax cut bill.
So, Senator, you know, Democrats were pretty critical of Republicans over the tax bill because it wasn't fully funded. You know, you just told me a few seconds ago that people don't ask questions often of other policies. But isn't it hypocritical to say that basically, well, they did it without an established funding source, and so can we?
Well, you know, if you look back, even at 2009, President Obama promulgated the regulations, by the way, using my law that had passed, to increase fuel economy standards to 54.5 miles per gallon. That's where this whole all-electric vehicle revolution came from that new set of regulations. And by the way, yeah, the auto industry wasn't particularly happy about it, but by the millions, people are now interested in buying them and by the way, saving money on gasoline because they're so much more energy efficient. So that's how we're going to look at this, working smarter, not harder, looking at investments in technologies that ultimately pay for themselves while they're saving the planet. Because we know it's going to cost trillions of dollars to the economy in the damage which is done by climate change if we don't invest now. It's pretty much an ounce of prevention versus a pound of cure, because after the damage is done, we're going to be paying anyway. So let's be smart about it and create jobs by the millions to avoid those catastrophic consequences.
Senator, Rep. Ocasio-Cortez's office has said that the Green New Deal could include a carbon tax, but that it would only be a tiny part of the total package. Why a tiny part? You know, carbon taxes have been very successful in Europe, in China even, and many agree that this may be the most effective, perhaps the only real way to seriously lower carbon emissions.
Well, the resolution itself doesn't mention a carbon tax. It doesn't mention a cap and trade system. It doesn't actually prescribe any individual way to reduce greenhouse gases. But let's just take Massachusetts as an example. We're part of a regional greenhouse gas initiative, which is now a 10-state initiative that has dramatically reduced greenhouse gases coming out of our electric generating system while still seeing a dramatic increase in the gross domestic product of Massachusetts, New York, all of New England, and now it's going all the way down to Virginia, New Jersey. So we're going to now have a huge debate. We talked today about principles. Now we have a debate across Congress on what the correct prescriptions are, what are the smartest ways of going, and how do we, by the way, protect poor people from having to pay disproportionately for whatever costs may in fact be invoked.
So, Senator, on one hand, you know, you have people saying that even the framework, the loose framework for this non-binding resolution is too ambitious, too wide-sweeping, too unrealistic. But on the other hand, you know, there are some who say that the proposal doesn't go far enough. David Turnbull, a spokesperson for Oil Change International, said in a statement responding to the proposal, quote, "Our climate crisis requires that we stand up to the fossil fuel industry and ramp down our fossil fuel production, not allow it to continue its planned expansion." So if you're going to propose these ambitious goals, why stop short of calling for a transition to 100% renewable energy sources?
Well, that's what it calls for. It calls for a transition to 100% renewable energy.
It calls for a transition for clean energy sources.
Well, clean energy. renewable energy.
There's a significant difference between the two.
Well, as long as it's not emitting greenhouse gases up into the atmosphere, then it's not increasing the threat of climate change, global warming. That's our goal. I think we should be technologically agnostic. Whatever gets the job done to reduce greenhouse gases going up into the atmosphere, that's what we're going to embrace. And what we're calling for is a national program to have a competition on what the best technologies will be in each one of the sectors in order to ultimately solve this problem. So, you know, when we were increasing the fuel economy standards in 2009, we didn't say it had to be Tesla's technology. We didn't say it had to be a hydrogen car. We didn't pick the technology. We just said, get us to 54.5 miles per gallon and do it pronto. So the resolution is about principles. It is a destination, and now we will determine the best routes to get there.
Right, but the resolution doesn't call for a lack of reliance on fossil fuels, which are not renewable energy sources.
Well, what it calls for is a reduction in greenhouse gases that go up into the atmosphere, and the principal cause of that are fossil fuels.
Mm-hmm. So one more question for you. Some of the goals seem pretty lofty, guaranteeing a job with a family-sustaining wage, adequate family and disability leave, paid vacations, retirement security to all members of our society. I mean, sounds wonderful. But do you have any specific ideas on how to accomplish that? And do you worry that by including these sort of wide-reaching statements that this resolution can be seen as not actionable?
No, not at all. And again, we don't have any specific prescriptions in there. We do believe that everyone is entitled to health care. We do believe everyone is entitled to a job. And we're going to try to create millions of new jobs in the clean energy sector. It's already the largest single blue-collar job creation sector in a generation, clean energy. We have 350,000 people who now work in the wind and solar sector, up from almost nothing 10 years ago. So it's growing and growing. There's only 50,000 coal miners and 350,000 people in wind and solar, most of them blue-collar workers. But it's going to go up to the millions. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about creating these jobs so that people can be employed, so that they can take care of their families, so they can have health care, so that they can have a healthy environment to live. These are democratic values. Health care, ensuring that jobs are protected, ensuring that everyone has housing. We've been saying this for years. We want to do it in the context of a Green New Deal.
All right. That's Massachusetts Senator Ed Markey. Senator Markey, thanks so much for being with us today.
Glad to be on. Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Maria Garcia. This is Radio Boston.